You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Does it expire? 1-800-330-9999. What have you noticed in your house that has an expiration date that you never thought would actually expire? Again, that's 1-800-330-9999. Raven, I was brushing my teeth this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I look over at the dental floss.
Yeah.
It expires.
Yes.
Why does dental floss expire? Isn't that crazy town?
It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. I did tell you that I've been using the toothpaste that my dentist gave me many, many years ago. Larry gave me this toothpaste. He's like, you got to use this for your gums. I never did it. Now I'm using it. I think it expired like 5 years ago.
Isn't it weird? Like why? Like if especially toothpaste, I could understand because it's kind of like, I don't know, it seems gooey.
I mean, you're ingesting it.
But yeah.
To a certain degree.
The string. It's just string. Like, what?
Right.
Why?
What happens
so
after
strange.
A certain amount of time? Right.
2 years. Like, what's going to happen in those 2 years?
Anything could happen.
So I came up with a whole bunch of household items, and Raven, you're going to guess.
Oh, we're going to play
expire?
A game.
Yep.
Oh, I love that.
Okay, ready? Do you think honey expires?
Gosh, so many big decisions so early on. I'm going to say that honey does not expire because it's from bees.
You're correct.
Wow.
Honey does not expire.
Wow.
Your honey can last like literally forever. You can put it in the microwave, liquefy it again, and it's all good.
Wow, I had no idea.
How about pillows? Do your pillows expire?
I'm guessing no. They're pillows.
Pillows. Be sure not to keep pillows for more than 2 years. The reason why? After 2 years, the pillow won't be the same shape due to the dust mites and will lead to back and neck pain.
What? Wait a minute. 2 years?
2 years you're supposed to replace your pillows.
And it's going to be full of dust mites and that's the reason why? That's disgusting.
Right. How about fire extinguishers?
Fire extinguishers do expire. I know that.
They do?
Yeah, sooner or later, right? The charge is no good, right?
Wait till you hear how long, though.
You shouldn't keep a fire extinguisher for more than 14 years, even if you don't use it.
14 years?
Yeah, I mean, that seems like a bargain.
You gotta
That's get a bargain purchase.
Yeah, but you should get like a Sharpie and write down, because who's going to remember? You're going to set an iPhone reminder in 14 years to throw away your fire extinguisher?
I know you're really bad at fire extinguishers and has never actually fired one, really wanted to, really bad for a while.
Yeah.
It has a thing right on it. Tells
oh,
you when
it
it's good
you?
Or not. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, green is good.
How about your shoes?
Shoes don't expire. I mean, I've got a grandfather. He's been rocking the same three pairs of shoes the last 40 years that I've known him.
Shoes should actually be replaced every year. This is because after walking around 200 miles, your shoe begins to lose its cushioning.
Wait a minute. Who's walking 200 miles now?
You probably walk close to 200 miles.
You think so in a year?
Yeah, in a year. I mean, I don't know for sure, but right. I'm sure if you just check like the health thing on your phone, it'll tell you how many miles you walked in a lifetime.
It feels like a Google fact.
Yeah.
Okay.
How about vodka?
I mean, I'm not going to throw it out, even if it has a date on it. So that's my answer to that. I'm going to say it doesn't expire.
Vodka, tequila, gin, none of them expire.
Yeah.
They can stay around forever.
Well, look at me. I knew that one.
Yeah, there you go. Congratulations. balsamic vinegar.
I'm going to guess also not expire.
Does not expire.
Wow, look at me.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like a vodka for people that are on a diet. I mean, you're really excited whenever you get to eat it.
How about your towels?
Towels are good. Forever.
You should replace your towel every 1 to 2 years. Towels can often become wet and therefore grow a lot of bacteria. Not even the most thorough wash will clean out all the bacteria that grows in towels.
Are we sure this guy's a real scientist or something, or does he work like at IKEA or Bed Bath Beyond?
Accent?
Because he's trying to get us to buy pillows, towels, everything.
No, he has a British accent. Of course he's a doctor, I think. Going through airport security in general is gross. You know, it's like you're all being funneled into one area. And the next thing you know, you don't have your shoes on.
Yeah, it's a bunch of different groups of people that are carrying all sorts of different items. Some people have got food items. Mm-hmm. Some people have got strange stuff in their pockets or whatever. And everybody's trying to get where they're going quickly. And they're a little bit anxious, too. Yeah, it's not a fun process.
No, and it's stressful. Raven and I were both flying this past weekend. Mm. And Raven did something disgusting. I don't even know what you were thinking.
Listen, this is a choice that I have made, and I have done it plenty of times before, is I go through airport security Barney Rubble style. Mm-hmm. I wear flip-flops or sandals, typically if I'm going somewhere hot, which usually I am, which this time I was as well. I just kick them right off, you know, because one place they're like, you know, shoes off. Another place they're like, no, shoes can stay on. I need to be prepared to get the stuff off of me quickly, get it back on quickly. There's no time that I'm more anxious going through security than when I'm trying to get my items back out of the bin and back onto my body fast and everybody's coming at me with their stuff.
But airport security has to be the nastiest floor to be barefoot. Nastiest.
I got to be honest, too. And I just flew back from the islands. And I got to tell you, that floor was sticky.
It gross.
Yeah, it was sticky.
I was in Nashville. Mm-hmm. And I had like the opposite where everybody was going like they all had their cowboy boots on.
Oh, yeah.
So if you can see a group of women that don't probably wear cowboy boots often, or all of a sudden they're trying to get them off their feet for security.
Right.
And they're the entire size of the security bin to put it through.
Yeah.
That was amusing as well.
Yeah. I don't, what is the policy too on cowboy boots and like coverage inside? Do you wear socks with cowboy boots? Or you
of course
just,
you do.
You
what do. We think they're Uggs? You think it's optional?
I didn't know. I mean, I'm not sure, you know, I mean, it's got to be a smell of sweat and leather there in TSA.
I was trying to figure out, like, what are the most complicated parts about going through airport security? And I, you know, first of all, I went with my husband and my cousin and her husband. So we did like a double date kind of thing. And there's always the awkwardness of like who's in charge of the tickets on the iPhone.
Yeah.
And then there was a whole big discussion because you have to like show the security guy. And I felt like a child because for the first time I wasn't in charge of the tickets.
Uh-huh.
You know, you have to like wait your turn for the license.
Right.
But then there's the argument of which one of these lines is going to be the shortest. And then if they don't go with your line, you're staring at that line and you're like, you didn't want to go in that one because there was somebody with a wheelchair. The wheelchair flew right through. Look, they're already through. They cleared customs and you're 6-7 people back.
I've got the extra Homeland Security look this time, which was a new experience for me. So they swabbed me, all my hands, all my pockets, opened up my luggage, all that. Yeah.
Yeah, when I look at you, I think bad guy. Definitely thinking bad guy.
The problem was, so then after I cleared that, though, they were going to put me on the plane first, and I went down like the wrong hallway.
Why were they going to put you on first? They felt bad that they gave you a swab?
Once I cleared the security, they were like, all right, just go to the plane. Well, I can't find my way around airports without my wife, so I went like down the wrong aisle, the Skyway. They were like, there's no plane at the end of that aisle. You're going to fall out.
One of the most amazing things I've learned about Raven recently in the last couple years is that he has no sense of direction whatsoever. It's the strangest thing because he considers himself a man's man.
Yeah.
But then you put him anywhere and he's lost. It's so weird.
The airport, definitely. It's like, you know, Bermuda Triangle type thing.
Yeah.
But we're both here.
We survived it.
We made it.
Yeah.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 It's the little things in life that make you crazy, right? You know, whenever somebody does it, you just roll your eyes and you think to yourself, that's all I need to know about you. Here's your chance to get it off your chest. 1-800-330-9999. Gino, that's all I need to know about you.
If you refer to your child's age by weeks or months instead of years, that's all I need to know about you.
How long do we do that for?
1 year.
1 year? They're still weeks up until
no,
1 year?
No, they're months. They're months.
Okay.
So it used to be they're weeks up to 12 weeks. You know, they're 8 weeks old, 9 weeks old, 10 weeks old. But after 12 weeks, then they're 3 months, then they're 4 months,
okay,
5 months, all the way through, you know, a year. And then after a year, you say, you just get confused. Like 1 year and 1 month, or then you just don't know what to say.
I mean, once they're after a year, like, right, what are we doing the 14, 16
14 months?
What's the difference?
Well, there's a big difference between a 12-month-old, a 1-year-old, and a 16-month-old, but it just gets complicated. Just avoid it at all. Just run away if somebody asks you.
Yeah.
Marcus, that's all I need to know about you.
All right. If you are the type of person who never charges their phone and keep it near low battery, that's all I need to know about you. You are crazy. You live on the edge. You don't care about any consequences in the world. You're just living life by the seat of your pants.
I get like nervous when the red, when it turns into the red, there's not a whole lot left and low power, 10%, 20% warnings. Yeah. Oh gosh, I can't.
You know what for some reason also makes me anxious though is the person that always keeps it plugged in. Because I just know what it's doing to the battery. And for some reason, I'm worried about somebody else's battery life. I don't know. It just makes me neurotic. I don't know. I had a laptop. I learned that lesson with a laptop or two. Like, you just kept it plugged in all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you were like, oh, wait a minute. This battery stinks now. And ever since then, I've been, like, anxious about batteries.
That's a weird thing to be anxious
right?
about.
I always charge my phone and run it down. Always do that. I never, like, you know, plug it in when it's, like, 80%. I don't do that.
I only plug in my laptop at work. So whenever I'm home, yeah. it's never plugged in. But at work, it's always plugged in.
Now I'm going to notice it. Brianna, that's all I need to know about you.
If you don't rinse a cup out before you pour your beverage in it, that's all I need to know about you. And here's why. One summer, my mom just decided that she wanted to let nature in, and she let all the windows up for like 3 days straight. And I forgot to rinse out a cup, and I had poured juice in it like full to the top. And right before I took a sip, it was just like a fly and like some other stuff in it. And I just was like, oh my God. From that point on, I rinse my cups. And if you're smart, you'll rinse your cups too.
Okay.
Do you go cups up or down in the cabinet?
Anna? Cups go down.
Yeah.
Well, the glasses go down. Yeah. The plastic cups, like the kids' cups that we actually all drink out of.
Sure.
They go up. And I never, ever rinse them out.
Neither do I. But you know what? It's just me and my wife, and yet we go through a crazy amount of cups every day. Is I don't know why.
Do you refill them with the water?
We do refill them with the water.
That's why.
But everything, like, I mean, we go through a million other cups, though. Like, I don't know. It's like constantly on a cycle. I tell you what, I told her, like, we got to throw out the metal cups. We have so many metal, like, tumblers or, you know what I mean, flasks. We have so much stuff like that. Like, it's time to get rid of them. If you're a memory from 8 years ago, and you're not in my regular cup circulation, you got to go.
When I moved, I got rid of so many, and it hurt my heart, like, when we were doing it.
Yeah.
But I don't even miss them. I don't even remember what they look like.
Because I only have, like, 3 or 4 favorites. Those are the ones I use all the time.
Yep. When it comes to who's going to watch your kids, usually, if you're lucky, you have your parents around, and then you can be like, Mom, Dad, please, can you just watch the kids this weekend? Or I'm going out tonight. We're going out. Can you watch the kids? And it's the best feeling in the world when they're like, yep, because you literally just drop them off, and you're like, bye!
They'll figure out the rest.
Right,
right.
Exactly.
I mean, they're experienced parents, right.
Unfortunately, John.
Yeah.
You had a situation that didn't work out as well.
And here's the funny part is that if your parents are of a certain age, then I get it. You know what I mean? Like, you got to watch out. If you've got young kids and old parents, that's tough. My parents, both of them, are 59 years old.
Pretty young.
These are young people. These are young people. My father is an active man. He still plays in a baseball game. But I had him watch my son at an event that I had to play guitar at, right? And it was a somber occasion. Someone I knew had passed away. I'm up there playing, you know, these songs and everything like that. Take my dad there. Take my son there. And after a little while, I'm like, hey, guys, I got to get on stage, right?
Yeah.
Turn to my dad. He goes, yeah. He's talking to somebody. He doesn't care. Turn to my kid. I'm like, hey, buddy, I'm going up on stage. He goes, yeah, whatever. And he goes back to eating his pigs in a blanket. They're both very casual about the whole thing. I get up on stage, and I'm sound checking, and I'm doing the whole thing. And who do I see walking through the crowd but the bouncer, the door guy, right, at this event? Mm. And who is he holding hands with? My son.
Oh, boy.
Walking him up to, yeah. Walking him up to the front of the stage. And immediately I'm just like, what's going on? What's happening, man?
Right.
He goes, well, he was kind of just wandering around. I figured he'd want to see you play. This is your son. And he's looking at me like I'm that jerk who just like abandoned his kid at the party, right? I'm that guy. And now this is happening in front of a crowd of like 200 people. So what else am I going to do? I get on the mic. I go, Dad.
Right.
Dad, and I see my dad at the back just schmoozing a whole bunch of people, like, you know.
He's a smooth guy.
Yeah, I was going to say, you guys have spoken to my dad before. He's that guy.
Yeah.
And I just see him just stop and start looking around. And I go, no, Dad, he's up here. It was painful.
Yeah.
It was honestly, I was a little angry at my father that day. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, well, it's so tough because, like, you. When it comes to your parents, you want to trust them the most with your kids because they raised you.
Right.
You made it.
Right.
You figure, like, they would be able to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Would you trust your dad to watch your son again?
Yes. Yes, of course I would. Here's the thing about my father. I grew up in New York City. So did he. He's the guy who, like, taught me how to use the subway system when I was 8 and was like, all right, you got it. You're going to your friend's house? Go for it, dude. But I'm like, man, this isn't 1995 anymore. Like, right. You can't do that. So, yes, I would. In that particular kind of setting, and that busy, and that like social of an occasion, maybe not.
Maybe have some, a wingman.
Maybe have a wingman. Right.
Somebody else that's looking.
Maybe have a wingman.
But I think it's important to point out one like key factor of this whole story that we left out. James, John's son, is 4 years old.
He's
4. So it's not like it's an 8-year-old or a 9-year-old that's kind of wandering off. This is a small child.
A very small child.
This is a small child that's just like, hey,
right.
I'm in the middle of a 200-person concert.
Shorter than everybody.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Right. Can't see. Yeah. Right, right.
I just like the idea that the bouncer is returning your child to you.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And let me also say that this event happened at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Like, this was a very child-relative appropriate thing. But you got to keep an eye on him, man. There's a lot of people out there.
I know. Did you say anything to him afterwards, or did he just get it?
No, he just kind of got it, and I wasn't trying to get into it. And it was pretty apparent.
I mean, the announcement from the stage is not enough.
Right. Hey, Dad!
Right.
Dad!
Do that thing that I asked you to do that involves my son,
He's
your grandson.
Up here.
He's on stage with me, Dad. Thank you. Good job.
Dad.
Anna and Raven's Female Founders, highlighting women who've built their own businesses from the ground up.
Corin Burrows is the founder of the Educators Link. And when it comes to entrepreneurial women and making their dreams come true, she is leading the way. So can you tell us first, for people that are not familiar with the Educators Link, like what it does?
Sure. So we are a professional learning resource for educators. So we have a free membership-based online platform, and we offer courses for credit. We match expert consultants with schools and educators. Educators can purchase books and read free blogs. But most importantly, we try and make professional learning easy and practical and fun for them.
Like an open source resource.
So this is something that like a teacher could do on their own, an educator would do on their own, but also maybe this would be something that's offered by school districts, basically as continuing education for the teachers?
Exactly. So we offer course credits that teachers can use to fulfill their obligations. And then you're right, teachers can choose to just further their learning on their own.
One of the things I have to talk about is the fact that you created this with your sisters.
I did. My sisters, Jamie and Shira, are the co-founders of the Educators Link, and we are actually founded this on the heels of a business our mom created over 40 years ago.
That's so fantastic. You can see kind of the lineage of entrepreneurship in your family.
Do you think that that made a big difference, is like being able to see your mom create a company like this and take it from the ground up that gave you basically the background and the courage to do something like this on your own?
Absolutely. I think, you know, we laugh now because as children, we didn't understand how hard our mom worked. And now we know she was working late at night after we went to sleep and waking up before she got us off to school. But she really is our inspiration. And, you know, now as adults, we can tell her how much we appreciate her. As teenagers, we would never admit that.
Right. Mom's changing the world, and you're basically giving her crap about not having your laundry done or something.
So we said we'd never admit that. It's true, though. Like, you don't realize that a lot of times, like, it all comes from your mom, like from watching your mom do things. And if she's a great role model and she shows you that there's nothing you can't accomplish, that you get the same thing. So for a woman that has an idea that she also wants to make it come to life, what advice would you have for her?
You know, I'm here to tell all women, you need to trust yourself and know that you're good enough and there's nothing really standing in your way. It's really just a lot of hard work and dedication and then believing in yourself.
In a lot of ways, your sisters are your partners in this. Do you think it's different when you're dealing with family versus dealing with strangers? Because I feel like a lot of times when women are creating companies on their own, they have no choice but to look for outside investors to help.
I mean, I think it's whoever you work with, you really, it's a marriage and you really have to have an immense amount of trust in that person. And I think working with my sisters, that is one of the benefits. We know coming into this, we have the same work ethic. So, I mean, I don't know that I would be wary of taking partners, period, but I just think you have to really know that person and trust that person or people in order to make it work.
I'd be taking all my boardroom disputes to my mom. You know I'm your favorite, Mom.
Okay, so for the woman that's listening right now and she's like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to figure this out and I'm going to do this. What would be your advice for step one?
You know, I'm a planner. My sisters and I, we all have different personalities, but I'm the planner sister. So for me, I like to create a map. Whether you wind up following that map at the end of the day, it's going to change a million times over. But creating that first step of an outline of, you know, it doesn't even necessarily have to be a formal business plan. But what's your plan? What's your goal? What are you trying to achieve? you know, looking to the right resources that you need to acquire in order to start your business. But that pen to paper is really that first step for me.
Corin Barros, you can find all about the Educators Link at educatorslink.com. Thank you so much for taking the time.
There's such a thing as a perfect age to get married.
Hmm.
It's so strange when you think about it. So the U.S. Census Bureau found the median age for marriage back in 2022 was 28.6 years old for women and 30 years old for men.
Okay.
And in 2023, last year, the average age of marriage for couples was 32.
Interesting.
To me, that seems a little too old, right?
Okay.
Mostly like, you know, to have children and all that. But I started thinking about it because this past weekend I was in Nashville. And Nashville is basically the bachelorette central party place in
the country.
That's
where everybody goes now,
yeah.
Right?
Oh,
right.
It's wild.
Yeah.
So I was there. It was me, my husband, my cousin was my best friend and her husband. And we were at this bar and the girls come in. And they've got the pink cowboy hats, and they are all glittered up. And
the sash. People are yelling and screaming. And
matching dresses and the, you know, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, yeah.
A million bachelorette parties. And one of the girls, she turns around, and she was like, can you take a picture of us? And I was like, yeah, of course. And she's like, this is called a Kodak camera. And she's like, and how you use it is, I go, stop. I go, I was alive for real when we
the first time around.
Right. Like, I'm right. Fully aware how to use this camera, you know. So I'm taking a picture, and all of a sudden, I catch the bride. I go, oh, my gosh, she's a baby. Like, she looked so incredibly young. I mean, beautiful, but yeah. So young. So I say to her, I'm like, well, how old are you? And she was like, she's like 21. And I was like, oh, I'm like, I should mind my own business. But, you know, I'm fueled by two vodkas now.
Right.
Right. So at this
point. Maybe one of your girlfriends in the back of your ear, too.
Well, Angela, my cousin, she's like, she's 21. She's like, we should make sure she's not making a mistake. No. We are strangers. Strangers.
Right.
I mean, who knows where they're from in the country, you know?
They could be wonderful. A great couple together since 12 years old.
We asked. So I was like, so how'd you meet him? And he was like at school. And I said to one of the friends, I'm like, is he a good guy? And I swear the friend replied, super hot. And I was like,
not the full answer.
Not really the response that your best friend should give. But, you know, like super hot. That's the qualification.
Well, I mean, at 21, maybe that's what the girlfriend's thinking, top of list.
And I was just like, wow, that seems so young to get married, 21.
Yeah.
And I was like, you sure? You sure he's the one? Yeah. And she was like, lady, all we ask you to do is take a picture of our group, right?
Yeah, move on.
Yeah.
Leave us alone.
I don't know. I got married, and then I started feeling like a hypocrite because I got married when I was 24. And I remember, even then, that was young.
Sure.
It was young to get married at 24. My parents got married when they were 18, 19 years old. And I don't know. Is that completely gone, like the days where you get married in your early 20s?
I mean, I think that, you know, obviously other country, your parents were coming from a different country, different generation. Plenty of people did get married very young. My grandparents got married very young.
Mm-hmm.
My mother and father got married pretty young, but they got divorced pretty young also.
How old were you when you got married the first time?
Gosh. I think I was probably like 29. Yeah, I was 28 or 29.
So you were smart enough to know that you were making a mistake?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I was.
Yeah.
And I had a friend that was like, I can get you out this side door right now. Say the word. He's like, nobody will know. We'll be exits up the highway before anybody figures out that we're not here.
Do you regret not running at that moment?
Kinda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I wonder sometimes, like, is there such thing as a perfect age anymore? And I pray for her. I hope that she has a great life. And wherever she is, she's probably hungover somewhere, but I hope she's having a lovely time. And I hope the picture I took of you came out nicely.
She's 21. She's not hungover.
Oh, right.
She feels great.
Yeah, it's true. Why are these hidden speakeasies and the hidden clubs a thing? I'm trying to figure out, do I love them or are they just kind of nonsense, right?
Kind of weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, does it make it cooler that you're overpaying for a drink in a place that you had to spend an hour and a half trying to find?
I mean, but sometimes you can go to these places and it's something more than just a place to get a drink. Like, I've been to a speakeasy before where it was like a show, and it definitely felt like this was a show that would not be allowed in like a regular venue.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I over the weekend, I went to Nashville, and I went through a phase where I was really into the speakeasies and the hidden clubs and all that.
Sure.
But I stumbled upon two without doing any research whatsoever. There's this store. It's called All Saints. It's a brand. And I like it. Like, I shop there, you know, normally. So I had gone down, if you're familiar with Nashville, Printer's Alley. And there's, it's like, in there, there's the store, All Saints.
Okay.
So earlier in the day, I walked in, I browsed the shelves, I looked at the clothes, I walked out. That was the end of it. That night, we're walking back to our hotel, and I look, and that store is now dark, right? Which isn't weird, because it's midnight. Completely empty. But standing outside is a woman with a clipboard. Just out of curiosity, I walked up to her and I go, is there a hidden club inside this All Saints store? And she looked at me. She goes, there is. I go, no, no. And she goes, you want to go in? I go, yes.
You didn't even have the secret password or the handshake, anything.
Nothing. So I walk into the door. Now, all the clothes are gone.
Yeah.
All, like, the racks of the clothes are gone. And I notice on the back wall that blends right in is a handle. I open up that door, my cousin Angela and I, there were 700 people at a club.
Come on.
Behind that door.
Wow.
I was like, how did these people even know to do this? I was like, this is crazy.
I mean, how big does a club have to be before the secret is no longer a secret somebody had to know.
And then afterwards, we're going home, and now I have it in my head that everything is a secret.
Right.
Right. And right. Across the street from our hotel, there's this restaurant that looked like Alice in Wonderland themed, but it was always closed.
Okay.
So I said to my husband and Angela and her husband, I said, let's just go see.
There's got to be something
They're
here.
Like, it's a closed restaurant. I go, let's just go see.
Right.
I open the door to the restaurant that looks closed. It opens.
It opens.
I walk in.
Indicator number one.
We walk down the stairs, and Angela's like, Anna, this is scary. She's like, this is really scary right now.
Like, where are we? Right.
And we walk downstairs, and it looks like a restaurant, Alice in Wonderland, but the entire thing is closed. She's like, we're going to get arrested.
Right.
I go, guys, not yet. I walk around the corner. There's a storage closet. Open up the storage closet. Speakeasy.
Come on.
Yep.
You didn't get tased.
No.
Nobody assaulted you. Anything.
It had the whole Alice in Wonderland theme with the cards hanging and the rabbit and Alice hanging upside down from the ceiling. I was like, how do these people know to go in here and to find this?
Right. How long did you stay? Was it fun?
We stayed like for a short period because it was at the end of the night. We were like heading back to our room, you know. So but it was wild to see that. And I'm like, is this cool that they do it? Or is it annoying? Because what if you had to, like, spend an hour trying to find this place?
Yeah. You know what? I mean, I've been to a couple myself. Same thing. You would never know looking at the building. So mine was in a terrible, terrible neighborhood in the city. You would have walked right by it. But sooner or later, somebody shows up, right? You see the lines start to form, kind of a couple people there. You get in there, and absolutely gorgeous building inside. And it was a variety show. I went there for a birthday. I know a lot of people go for, like, bachelor parties and bachelorettes because it is definitely... It's very revealing, this show.
It's also
a place where you get a $22 old fashioned. But you have a great time.
No, I think like that's the whole thing, is they just want to overcharge you for drinks in those places. But here's the other thing I learned. If you see a telephone booth that looks like, why is there a telephone booth there? Go inside the telephone booth.
Go in the telephone booth. Yeah.
70% of couples break up in the first year. Like, just dating. So why are we always so embarrassed to talk about when we got dumped?
It feels good to hear somebody else's dump story. It's one of those times where you're like, well, something terrible happened to me, but maybe not quite that bad.
Did you get dumped? Or did you have to break up with somebody? Dump Tuesday, 1-800-330-9999. Jesse, were you dumped or did you dump somebody else?
I was dumped.
What happened?
Well, with the relationship, I mean, she was vegan and I ate meat and she just couldn't stand it, you know, but I loved her a lot. So it was difficult because it was like she forced me to choose between her and me, you know, and ultimately I couldn't make the sacrifice.
I understand.
I was so heartbroken,
it's hard.
It does seem like it would be silly on the surface, but it's a real thing, right?
So I'm celiac. I've recently found out that I am celiac.
So your husband's filing for divorce? That's what's happening?
No, but... I catch him, like, he eats, like, there's only certain things I can eat. I'm dairy-free, gluten-free, and sugar-free, sucrose-free.
Okay.
There's literally, like, six things I can eat in the world.
Yeah.
He will go find my paleo fake cheese puffs, right? And I'll see him with his hand in there. And I'll be like, What are you doing?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you can't eat that.
Is it because he wants to be in solidarity with you or what?
No, because it's food and it's there.
It's just another snack.
But when it comes to, like, the dinner thing,
yeah.
He won't eat, like, my gluten-free rolls. I still have to get him his regular rolls. I feel like you're either in or you're out.
Yeah.
You can't have both. It's either this whole house goes gluten, dairy, sucrose free, or, like, we have to make our, you know, draw the line in the sand.
Wow.
Yeah, it's tough. I'm not sure what's going to happen. Just don't touch those paleo things. They're the only thing that bring me joy.
Oh, man. And she kissed you and she could taste beef on your tongue.
Oh.
Terrible.
Cameron, how about you? Did you break up with somebody or did you get dumped?
I did break up with someone. And it was, you know, we were seeing together for about a month. And I'm not on social media. And my friend was like, dude, you got to check out her social media. I was like, no, it doesn't matter. It's not a thing. Well, a month in, I was like, you know what? I'm really catching a lot of feelings here and it's getting more serious. So I did look at her social media and it was such a turnoff, her profile and the way that she used social media that I just had to dump her.
Why? What was wrong with it?
You know, honestly, it was like the live, laugh, love hashtag every single post. It's just the boomerangs. I'm serious. No, it was like every single post was the most cliche Pinterest thing you can think of on social media.
You were like, that's it.
I couldn't look at her again.
You were like, that's it. Yeah. People perceive me as being a thinking person. I mean, I'm not even on social media, for God's sakes. And now I realize that this person is just, you know, one repost after another, living their life, talking that way. I can't do it.
She's just being positive, writing about great things. And you're like, I have to dump this
No,
lady.
But I know what you mean, though.
It was dark.
I would dump the cryptic person. We're like, today was a terrible day. Prayers.
Yes.
Please send prayers. Though that guy, forget it. He gets dumped immediately.
Same thing, though, to me. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I already know what you're going to say today. I already know what you're going to say.
It's a weird thing when you realize that your kids can do something better than you can.
Mm. What are we talking about here? Like physical stuff? Like, hey, come over here, lift this for me because it's too heavy. Outrun you in a race, or just like general skills?
Well, my little one, my 5-year-old Dakota, recently had a piece of her art selected to be featured at the local library, which was, as you can imagine, very exciting. But I was looking at it and I was like, she is a better artist at 5 years old than I have ever been in my entire life.
Yeah.
You know? And she's always going to be a better artist. But wait, I want to check in with my older daughter, Hayden. Hayden.
Hi.
It's me, Mom. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I have a quick question.
Okay.
Who taught you how to make all those braids? First of all, can you list all the different kinds of braids you can do?
I can do a regular braid. I can do a fishtail braid. And I'm trying to learn how to do a French braid.
Like, how did you learn how to do all these so well? Because I certainly know that I've never been able to do them on you, and I'm terrible at them.
Nana taught me how to do a regular braid. And then one summer, she told me she wanted to learn how to do a fishtail braid. So we watched a YouTube video in the basement, and we practiced on all my Barbies.
Oh. And how does it feel to know that you are better at math than I'll ever be? Like, when she has her math homework and she has a question, she knows she has to wait for Dad to get home.
Yeah.
Because Mom is no help whatsoever, right?
Yeah.
There's just some things that kids get better than you, and you're like, yeah, all right, I guess that's how it is from now on.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, we want our kids to be better at everything than us, right? But the day that they do it and we realize it, that's eye-opening.
I'm looking at our Facebook page because we asked, like, what's the one thing your child can do better than you?
Yeah.
Carrie wrote, she fits into all my old clothes. That's funny. So there's this website, Raven. It's called Cupshe or something like that.
Okay.
And it's like cheap bathing suits, like inexpensive bathing suits. And I was told that it was really good. So I ordered 3 bathing suits. 2 were good. 1 was definitely not enough to cover my behind.
Okay.
And it was funny because I was like able to just go put it in her room and be like, try this on, fit her perfectly. And she wears a lot of my old clothes and fits into a lot of my old clothes.
Well, you know what? I mean, some people that might make them upset. Other people makes them feel good.
Mary Jo wrote, anything with computers. My son is an IT tech. Same thing with Hayden. Like, if there's a problem with a streaming service, I can't figure out how to change a channel. I don't know how to record something. Hayden, Mommy needs help.
There's a million things that I never even would know that my phone is capable of doing.
Dee says her daughter is a better singer, dancer, and plays piano. She wrote, she's so much cooler than me. Sometimes your kids are just better at things than you are. 1-800-330-9999. What are those things? Dana.
Well, it's my grandson. He's 6, and I just bought a new vacuum cleaner because it's smaller than the one I have. But he loves it. He loves the vacuum. But he knows how to put the attachments on it, and I couldn't figure it out last night. I have to wait for him to come over now to show me how to put the attachments on it.
Wait a minute. You taught your 6-year-old grandson how to vacuum for you.
And he loves it.
He loves it.
He loves it. Give him all the jobs you don't want now, I guess.
Whatever you're doing over there, you're doing it right. You're doing it right. How do I make my 5-year-old just start vacuuming?
Hey, Rick, what's that thing that your kid does better than you?
The thing I would say my kid can do that's better than me is stand up for himself. Like, when I was his age, I was definitely pushed around a lot, and I just sort of rolled over and took it. I never wasn't really taught any better, so I made sure to teach him to stand up for himself, and I was super proud the first day he came home from school and he told me about these kids that were picking on him, and he stood up. He cracked jokes. He actually made him laugh. I was so proud of him.
And then the teacher sent home a note and said that your kid is disrupting the class, and that's me and Anna and every single person that's ever been in radio.
I actually wasn't like that. I was really shy as a kid. I was really heavy as a kid, so I could get picked on a lot. So like I was kind of shy and withdrawn. When I look at Dakota, my 5-year-old, she's like that. She stands up for herself. She's a class clown. When people insult her, I've seen kids say things to her. And mm-hmm. I don't know if she doesn't understand that she's getting picked on or if it just rolls off her back.
Right.
She just goes. She just smiles and she's, I don't know. It's the same thing. She's better at that than I ever was.
Well, let me tell you something right now. If you are a parent of a child that is in one of the classes of Dakota, you better hope that she keeps telling jokes. Because that kid is a monster.
That's true.
And if she doesn't tell a joke, she's going to tell you something else.
I know. Now that she's taking karate, it's like we've given her weapons in her hands.
Well, I hope you've given her a Mr. Miyagi and not a Cobra Kai because, man, look out. I'm telling you right now, warn your children.
Holly, what's the thing that your child can do better than you?
Oh, absolutely. It's dancing. I like to think that I can, carry a tune with my body, but she is amazing.
Kids have no fear. Mm-hmm. There's none of that, people are watching me when I'm dancing thing.
We could be in a grocery store.
Yeah.
And a good song comes on and my 5-year-old will break it down.
Right.
Yeah, she could be like, she's go for it.
Rip it out. Just no care in the world whatsoever who sees you.
Right.
The rest of us adults, we could be at an actual party, a celebration, a reception, and we got to have 8 cocktails to get out there on the floor to get a little bit of, courage going.
Well, for me, it's just one dirty martini. That's really all it takes.
Well, either way, we got to have something to get us moving. Nope. 5-year-olds, no problem.
Karina, what's the thing that your child can do that honestly is better than you could do it?
Thing, actually. I believe I have great vocals. I've been told by a lot of people growing up that I have great vocals, but my kids think I'm not the best, and they think that they're better than me.
Can they sing better than you? I mean, right?
Can I sing a little something?
Yeah, go.
Maybe they're the judge if I'm good.
Yeah, well, where's your daughter? Right? Where's your kids at? I mean, if your kids ain't here, singing something.
No, but anytime somebody offers to sing, yes.
You want to drop some bars? Go ahead.
Go.
Very high, and who he was, white as. No.
Are you singing Mary Had a Little Lamb?
Yeah.
That was what you chose to sing?
I mean...
It was a good, it was an interesting interpretation of it. We're just going to leave it as, this is an incomplete answer.
Yeah.
Thank you.
One couple.
I don't want to keep dealing with my sister and all of the drama it's causing.
Isn't that the stupidest thing you ever heard?
One problem.
To name the baby Clifford and demand that we change our dog's name.
You decide the outcome.
Yeah, thank you. I love the audience for that.
Will be a fun story, hopefully, to us in a few years.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. Greg and Shannon. Shannon, what happened?
Yeah, so Greg's soul. So I used to play violin in high school and kept my violin. It's in the house. And I just found out that Greg sold it without asking me. And so now something that was mine is no longer here. And he sold it. And we didn't have a conversation about it. And I wanted to keep it. So I'm annoyed.
Okay. Greg, what happened?
So we had a request to clean out the house, which we have not done in so long. And that's what I was doing. I was cleaning out the house, and I don't have time for questions. So I was giving away a lot of my stuff. old jeans, old shirts, old appliances that we don't need or use anymore. And it just so happened to see that violin that was just sitting collecting dust. And so I was just like, hey, you know, let me see if somebody wants to get back on their music grind. And I decided to sell it. And not to mention, I made a pretty penny for it for how long it's been sitting in there. Now, she's saying I didn't ask her, but I'm like, it's been sitting there for ages. And I didn't think you even knew it was there. I mean, so I just did what any smart person in this economy would. I made a quick sale. So I didn't see the big deal of it. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But I just don't understand why she's so angry and annoyed.
How much did you sell it for?
$120. I mean, come on. That violin plus the dust, that's a steal.
Shannon, when did you become aware that it actually disappeared? Did you go down looking for it? Did Greg mention it in passing? What happened?
Yeah, he mentioned it because he was excited that he got $120 for it. But, you know, I understand what he's saying as far as, like, I wasn't using it and might as well sell it. But the reason I was keeping it, like, I don't play the violin anymore, so obviously I'm not going to use it. But I was keeping it because, you know, it was nostalgic to me. But I thought, you know, it would be great to pass on to our children if they ever want to play an instrument, specifically a violin. Also, it was a lot of money. You know, it was over $1,000 when my parents bought it for me. So $120 actually is not a lot of money. He could have gotten actually more for it if he had talked to me and I had agreed to it.
So, Shannon, your kids have interest in playing the violin?
Are any of them musicians?
Not yet. They're too young right now. I mean, maybe in a few years. They haven't expressed it, but I just would have appreciated a conversation. It's really not up to him to sell it, even though it is our home.
Right, but
a discussion should have been had.
But at this point, does it make sense for him to try to track down who he sold it to? Like, would you even be able to do that, Greg? Find the person that you sold it to and go get it back?
I mean, I sold it on Facebook Marketplace. So, I mean, I wouldn't say it's easy to find this person. They could be anywhere. I mean, it could have been somebody just stopped and got a violin. I don't understand what she doesn't get. There was no receipt or paper trail. This was cash on product right here.
You know, I think that the main thing is like you said, Shannon, a conversation really would have been key here. I don't know how violins hold value. From what I understand, only the really, truly rare ones do. The rest of them, you know, they're pretty replaceable at this point. You know, it's always been a thing where they kind of present it as they're worth more than they are. But like you said, it's nostalgic for you. It's part of your past. Somebody took it, sold it, didn't ask you. That doesn't feel good.
What do you think? Should Greg have to track down whoever he sold that violin to and see if he can get it back?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
What would you do if your husband sold something that belonged to you and didn't tell you? That's what's going on with Greg and Shannon. So Greg says that Shannon is a little bit of a hoarder. She keeps a lot of things that really, honestly, she doesn't need. And it's just causing clutter around the house. So when he was going through some stuff and he found an old violin and realized he can get some cash for it, sold it on Facebook Marketplace for $120, he took the opportunity and did it.
I mean, but he didn't even mention it, right? She's like, listen, I played the violin all throughout school. I loved music. Yeah, I don't play anymore at this point, but that wasn't up to him to get rid of it.
Yeah, but what? It's for now, it's the violin. Next time, it's like the sled from when she was a kid. Like, it's always something, right? When you have these things and you don't want to let go of it.
Well, she was like, maybe one of our kids someday will want to play.
Was he wrong to do that? And more importantly, should he have to track down who he sold it to? 1-800-330-9999, because she wants it back. Rick, whose side are you on?
Yeah, I got to stand with Greg on this one. Hoarding is hoarding. If you're not using it, get rid of it.
I mean, memory from childhood, deep part of her artistic background. I don't know.
I just don't know why you wouldn't mention it. Well, I know why you didn't mention it, because she would say, no, I don't want to sell it. And then he would be like, nope, it's just going to sit here for another 20 years.
Right, right. It would have been rejected.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. What would you do if you found out that your spouse sold something that belonged to you, but then said, like, well, you're a hoarder. Are you just going to sit there for another 20 years? It's exactly what's going on with Greg and Shannon. Greg says Shannon, she just keeps everything, and they need to make room. So when he came across an old violin that she hasn't touched in 20 years, he put it up on Facebook Marketplace along some other things that he had that were his. Boom, got sold right away for $120, and now she's mad and wants him to get it back.
Yeah, Greg feels good about it. He's like, listen, that was money in hand, right? This thing has just been sitting here collecting dust, wasting space at this point. She says, oh, well, someday maybe the kids would have played it or whatever, but he's like, we don't have any violinists in our family. This is not doing anything for us here. I knew what she would say, so I just sold it.
What do you think? Should he have to go track down this person on Facebook Marketplace and get it back and pay him for it? 1-800-330-9999. LaVie, whose side are you on?
I'm on the wife's side. I'm on the lady's side because even if she have a lot of clutter, it doesn't matter. You shouldn't sell without letting her know.
Some sort of permission would certainly make things go better, right? We wouldn't be having this discussion.
I would be honest, though. If my husband got rid of some of my stuff, I probably wouldn't even notice.
Wouldn't know.
Yeah, because it's been sitting in the basement for years. That's where it's going to stay. Maureen, what do you think? Whose side are you on?
I'm on the wife's side. And, like, while I don't think it's necessarily realistic to ask him to track down who he sold it to and try to get it back, I think that she's looking for some acknowledgement that he was in the wrong, that it wasn't his violin to sell, that he should have talked to him about it, and some effort on his part to make that right. And I think that's totally valid.
Jenna, what do you think? Whose side are you on today?
Well, I'm a musician, and I don't think there's any value of money that could be held to these instruments. And I just don't know if $120 is worth hurting your wife's feelings. So I'm definitely with Shannon on this one. I don't think there's any physical value to that violin. He shouldn't have sold it.
His mistake was telling her that he sold it. Let it, like, just wander around the house for the next 20 years being like, I wonder what happened to my violin. Right, I don't know what I did with it.
I have four guitars, and if one went missing, I would know. And it's just, you know, it doesn't matter where it was hoarded away. I would know. I just know the day it was gone. So.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Shannon, our audience agreed with you. Greg, it's not right. Not right what you did. And even though, like, it may be tough to track them down, you have to at least try to find the person you sold it to see if you can get that violin back and give them back their money. You have to at least try.
And you know what? For you, Shannon, you know, because you're on my world, I will at least try. But just to throw this out there, you know, for our future kids, I don't see a violin in this future. I see more of like a demolition worker, just to be honest. So, but I will go and try my best to track down whoever has your violin, okay?
Yeah, you can just message them. I mean, it's on Facebook Marketplace, so they can ignore you, but you can message them.
Yeah, good. I would immediately respond and say the price is three times as much as what I paid. That's what I would do. Oh, this is an important thing. Tell me why you want it back. Okay, $500.
Or they realize they don't like it, and they're like, yeah, all right, I'll take my money back. You never know.
Worked out perfect.
If you have a problem, too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $4,000 thanks to BetterHelp. This program is sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to match with a licensed therapist. Get 10% off your first month of online therapy at BetterHelp.com/AnnaandRaven. All right, Philip, you ready to do this?
Yep.
Don't let me down. Please ask Raven to leave the room.
Raven, can you please leave the room?
You got it. Good luck, man.
Thanks.
Okay, Raven's walking out of here. That big door is going to close, and he can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. Philip, I'm going to ask you five pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. He'll come back in, get the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Yep.
Number one, what is the name of the new McDonald's McFlurry that has syrup and pieces of butterscotch candy and is named after a family member?
Grandma McFlurry.
Number two, former President Obama's speechwriter John Lovett will be competing in the 47th season of Survivor. What network has the show been on since 2000?
CBS.
Number three, the New York Times came out with a new word search game called Strands. What's the name of the other New York Times word game that was popularized in 2022 and includes guessing a five-letter word in 6 tries?
Wordle.
Number four, Zachary Quinto was accused of yelling at a restaurant staff and making a hostess cry. The restaurant called him an entitled child, and he was banned from the Toronto restaurant. He played what character in the Star Trek recent movies?
Spock.
At number five, the movie It Ends With Us comes out in August. Who wrote the cult classic novel that this movie is based off of?
Stephen King.
Who's with you over there?
Raven's here with me.
I don't know. Who's with you? Oh, wait.
Raven.
Well, not Raven. Hold on. He's back in here. Whoever that was giving you good answers, I'll tell you that. I wish you got that last one, though. You would have had him. 4 out of 5 for Philip.
All right. Four grand. Let's see how I do. Here we go.
Number one, what is the name of the new McDonald's McFlurry that has syrup and pieces of butterscotch candy? It's named after a family member.
It's the grandma. The grandma McFlurry.
Yes. Number
two.
Former president, yeah, I want to.
I haven't had it yet.
Number two, former President Obama's speechwriter John Lovett will be competing in the 47th season of Survivor. What network has the show been on since 2000?
It's on CBS.
That's right. Would you want to be on Survivor, Raven?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's
I want to go on The Amazing Race.
The Amazing Race seems like more fun.
Right. I don't like bugs in my, you know.
Yes.
You know what
Everywhere.
I mean. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Number three, the New York Times came out with a new word search game called Strands. What's the name of the other New York Times word game that was popularized in 2022 and includes guessing a five-letter word in six tries?
That's Wordle.
Yes. Number four, Zachary Quinto was accused of yelling at a restaurant staff and making a hostess cry. The restaurant banned him and called him an entitled child.
Mm.
He played what character in the Star Trek recent movies?
Spock, and he killed it.
Yeah, you guys are tied at four. And number five, the movie It Ends With Us comes out in August. Who wrote the cult classic novel that this movie is based off of?
You know, I don't know, but I'll tell you something. Over the last couple of weeks, I've been hearing that title over and over, and there was somebody on the beach reading it next to me.
Everybody reads this book.
Yeah.
I bought it last summer to read on the beach, and then I just carry it around with me, and now it just lives on my nightstand. But one day, I'm actually going to be able to read it.
Who wrote it? Stephen King?
No. Both of you guessed Stephen King. You're both incorrect.
Oh,
it is actually Colleen Hoover.
Well, are you sure he didn't write it under a pen name?
No, I'm positive.
All right.
I'm sorry, Philip. You guys tied at four today. That'll get you an on Raven t-shirt.
I can't be Raven.
Better luck next time. Good game, man. $4,100 tomorrow, Anna. Enjoy that t-shirt, bro.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.